You're listening to Tarakki Talks.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Tarakki Talks brought to you by ICICI Prudential. And, you know, in the past couple of episodes, we have been talking about the different kinds of financial tools available for us, investment tools, really, to help us grow our corpus. At the end of the day, that is every investor's goal, is to feel financially secure. But we do have unique goals. And sometimes there is an approach called diversifying your assets that can really help you achieve those goals. Now, as per usual, I need some help exploring what diversifying assets are and what they can actually do for your investment journey. So to that end, I've got with me Siddharth Sharma, an investment advisor and a well-known speaker on TV forums, conferences. You've probably seen him or heard him before, and who is very keen on building financial awareness and financial literacy. Thank you so much for joining us today, Siddharth, on Tarakki Talk.
Thank you so much for calling me.
So let's dive right into this conversation, Siddharth. When we look at diversifying assets, right, what is the most or the biggest advantage of this? And would you be able to help us understand it better with examples where there's been a notable difference in investment observed due to the diversification of assets?
See, I mean, as far as the concept of diversification is concerned, it's very clear that you are diversifying, or you are putting different asset classes into your kitty, so that, you know, you are in the position that you are able to attain the benefits of all. So when I talk about diversifying assets, you know, we generally talk about gold, we talk about silver, we talk about equities, we talk about debt, we talk about real estate. So probably diversification is something where you incorporate or agglomerate all these asset classes into your portfolios. So the biggest advantage of diversification is the fact that, you know, by enjoying the different flavor of different asset classes, you tend to mitigate the risk. And at the same time, your returns are, to a great extent, protected. So coming back to the point that diversification by putting your money into so many asset classes has always and always been something which an investor has always been looking for. So I'll just tell you, in 2021, it was probably seen that the equity markets were not performing. So, you know, I have clearly seen as a wealth manager that diversification has helped things to a great extent possible. So, you know, for example, if you are diversifying your money into debt, or if you're diversifying it into the gold, you have been able to see a consistent or a steady returns in your portfolio. And that primarily has been because of incorporating a lot of asset classes, like which includes even your REITs, which includes even your tungsten, silver, commodities. I mean, and that probably, you know, has first of all reduced the dependency of the investors for a specific asset class. And most importantly, they have been absolutely tension-free with regard to the fact that despite the markets were not performing, the portfolios were growing to a great extent.
Okay, fantastic. I'm glad that you actually brought up the markets now, Siddharth. I do want to talk a little bit about also investor behavior, right? Is there any kind of connection between diversifying assets and investor behavior? You spoke a little bit about risk, and I see maybe there is a connection there.
Well, I think that, you know, investor risk or investor behavior and diversification are highly correlated. Because, you know, many a times when the investor is well aware of the fact that, yes, his portfolio is well diversified. So, you know, he feels very confident, he feels very secured, and he knows that, yes, my dependency is not towards a specific asset class. So what happens is that when he knows that, you know, everything is all perfectly okay and there is a proper asset allocation into his portfolio, then in that case, probably, you know, he feels more motivated. He is not always timing out the markets that, yes, okay, I should invest at this point, I should not invest at that point, I should do the profit booking, I should not do the profit booking. The sense of confusion goes automatically out of order. And actually, it is at that point of time that the real genesis of true investment comes up. So coming back to your point that whether, you know, diversification is important for the investors or is there any connection? So I would say it is deeply correlated. And especially the better, I mean, the higher you go into the age bracket, the diversification of the asset classes helps you out in a better manner because it reduces your risk. And at the same time, it brings consistency into your portfolios at large. So to my extent or my experience or whatever the funds I have been managing for last so many years, I've literally come to the conclusion that every portfolio should be well diversified to an extent that you are protecting the investors from any sort of correction in the market. And at the same time, the returns automatically comes up into the portfolio at large.
Okay, I think this might be a good time to actually introduce the idea of a fund or fund scheme or an FOF scheme, because they also do bring in the hybrid form of investment, right? So if you could actually talk to us a little bit about what hybrid and FOF schemes are and what it primarily aims to cover, and if there are any pros or cons to, you know, hybrid or FOF schemes.
So see, FOF is something which is very close to my heart, you know, because FOF itself falls into a hybrid category. And when I talk about FOF, so as the name suggests, it's a fund of fund. That means there is an incorporation of a lot of other funds into the creation of this FOF. So for example, I'll discuss only about FOF, and then primarily subsequently I'll go towards hybrid as well. So FOF itself is a hybrid fund. It's a subset of hybrid fund, because as the name suggests, within the hybrid category, the hybrid is something which includes different asset classes. So an FOF is something which is a special category of hybrid funds. So let's say for example, in FOF category, within the equity side, you can have small caps, you can have mid cap, multi-caps or flexi-caps at one end. In the debt categories, you can have short duration bonds, you can have long duration bonds, you can have accrual bonds. And in the FOF category also, you can have gold, you can have real estate. So, you know, by purchasing an FOF fund, basically, you are diversifying your asset classes into different subsections of equity, into different subsections of debt, into different subsections of gold and real estate. And I tell you frankly, by incorporating an FOF, I have been able to make investors get into the shoe of, in fact, within the equity itself, which asset class is performing, which category is performing, how much is performing, because that category or that asset class is primarily incorporated, is already there within an FOF category. And I tell you, by having that fund, I have seen an overly consistent return to come into the portfolio at large. And FOF is something, I mean, which has given a strong cushion to the investors, that it also has given a lot of downside protection, and at the same time, your returns is all well protected. And if I talk about hybrid funds, so just as I told you, hybrid funds is something which is a blend of equity, which is a blend of debt, which has also other asset classes like arbitrage, like gold and real estate. So hybrid category is a category where by having all these asset classes, you make a fund and you allow an investor to participate into different categories, different asset classes, to take the flavors, to enjoy different returns coming out from different asset classes. And as a result of which, you see a good return coming out into their portfolios at large.
So Siddharth, also let's dive further into, you know, the different asset classes. You touched upon it, but let's explore it a little bit more. First up, we've got the equity savings fund, right? So what do you think are some of the salient features of this scheme? And what should someone wanting to invest in this scheme keep in mind?
So see, equity savings funds is primarily a fund which is a very conservative fund. Conservative in a sense, I mean, it doesn't go into equity to an extent of having 100% equity to the fund. So probably, you know, since it is having an equity taxation, therefore, the fund manager has a mandate of having approximately, you know, 65% of the fund into the equity category. So on an average, the fund has equity composition of 0 to 35%. And by having that into its nomenclature or into its mandate, the investor can see that, you know, they can easily get a return of 8 to 9% coming out from this fund on an annual basis, which takes care of a lot of things that, you know, at the time of their retirement, they can take some SWP out of this fund. And at the same time, the volatility is well captured. And at the same time, you know, you can have an equity taxation as well, where, you know, unlike an FD, where you have a debt taxation, you have to pay 33% of your capital appreciation as tax. Basically, you need not have to do all these things. There's only 10% taxation into it. So probably keeping into mind that point number one, the equity exposure is 35%. The taxation is 10%, which is an equity thing. It's a conservative hybrid fund. And at the same time, it helps an investor to have a steady income if they are looking out for an SWP option at some point of time. So within the category of hybrid funds, I consider that equity saving funds allow an investor to a great extent to not only participate, but at the same time, get something which is better than FD and which can help in satisfying their daily consumption needs by incorporating SWP option if we do that.
Okay, cool. So that kind of takes care or covers the hybrid part. To dive a little bit more into the FOF schemes, right? So take, for example, the ones that we have at ICICI Prudential. We've got the ICICI Prudential Income Optimizer Fund, which is an FOF, and the Prudential Asset Allocator Fund, also an FOF. But could you maybe trace the differences between these two funds so that we can understand how both of these could cater to equity, you know, the different features and the like?
Yeah, of course. So as far as your optimizer fund is concerned, that's very clear. The mandate is that the equity exposure has to be within 10 to 35% and it's a debt-oriented fund. So basically, the aim of the offering is to deliver the regular income. That is basically what an optimizer fund is. On the contrary, if I talk about the asset allocator fund, so here the equity exposure could be from 0 to 100%. So I mean, it is an aggressive category of the hybrid fund. So primarily, the mandate of the fund or the feature of the fund is in such a manner that optimizer fund is just having 35% of an equity exposure, while in an asset allocator fund, the fund manager can go up to 100% of the exposure into the equity category. And that is the uniqueness of an asset allocator fund, where you are relying over the fund manager, using his prudence, using his wisdom, and at the same time, you are having different categories of or different asset classes within the asset allocator fund. So primarily, just as I told you, that this is a fund which is very close to my heart because I have been voraciously giving this one to my investors at large, and I feel overly confident when I put money or when I park money into such funds, because it gives a lot of confidence to me as well that yes, my investors would be able to well sail through this journey of volatilities and at the same time get a steadier, consistent return into their portfolios at large. So that is a basic difference what I really wanted to point out between the optimizer and an asset allocator fund. And then of course, just as I told you in the previous conversation as well, that asset allocator fund also has a mandate to keep gold or real estate into its nomenclature or into its mandate. So that's what the differentiates out asset allocator from the optimizer fund.
Right. No, that's perfect. Thank you so much for charting those differences for us. And you know, Siddharth, when we started the conversation today, we also talked about how every investor does have very unique financial goals, right? Which is why it's so important to have a trusted advisor, someone who can identify those goals and give you the best investment journey to reach that destination. So it's not just important to understand what tools are available, but who should invest, you know, with those tools. So could we talk a little bit about a couple of sections of investors, or actually a couple of funds, and discuss who should invest into those funds? So if we take, for example, the multi-asset fund.
Oh, so multi-asset fund is a moderately aggressive fund. So this is also a fund which comes under the hybrid category. And by investing into this fund, again, the investor is exposed to different asset classes, which could be an equity exposure, which could be a debt exposure. Again, it also has the real estate into it, the gold. It has also, you know, the covered calls into it. So I mean, what I just consider is that multi-asset fund is a fund. It is also a blend of different asset classes. So people, again, who are looking out for something which is less aggressive than an asset allocator fund, I probably consider that multi-asset fund is something which will help people get a good return. And at the same time, within the multi-asset fund, your taxation again is of the equity taxation, which helps the investor to get good returns post-tax.
Nice. Okay, so seems like a good option for early investors as well. When it comes to the aggressive hybrid fund, maybe talk to us about that a little.
So as far as the aggressive hybrid fund is concerned, the equity exposure turns out to be somewhere between 65 to 80%. So of course, I mean, since the equity exposure is 65 to 80%, the volatility is relatively more in this fund because of the high component of equity exposure. And it also carries, you know, debt to an extent of 15 to 20%. So people who are looking out for moderately aggressive funds, just as the name suggests, it's an aggressive hybrid product. So an investor can invest into the same and can help his money grow. So I mean, that's what differentiates out the aggressive hybrid from vis-a-vis the multi-asset fund or an asset allocator fund.
Okay, perfecto. And what about the regular savings fund?
As far as a regular saving, it's a conservative fund because it carries an equity exposure of just 10 to 25%. And, you know, it's basically given to investors, you know, who are basically risk averse and who are relatively comfortable with every type of return. So basically, you know, the regular savings is a conservative fund. And of course, the taxation here is a debt taxation. So, I mean, you can consider it no lesser than an FD, you know, to an extent.
And finally, you know, we have touched upon this in our previous episodes, but if you could dive a bit deeper into it, the Balanced Advantage Fund.
Well, I mean, this is a typical case of a hybrid product. In fact, Balanced Advantage has ICICI should be rewarded for the fact that it is having one of the highest AUM of a balanced advantage fund. And what I should suggest is that, you know, within a balanced advantage fund, the fund manager is keeping the equity, he's also keeping debt, and to a great extent, he's also keeping an arbitrage. And what makes the balanced advantage unique is that, you know, every fund manager has a unique style of managing his balanced advantage fund. So, you know, some are pro-cyclical, some are non-cyclical in nature. So, every fund house has a different way or a different algorithm to manage the balanced advantage fund. So it is basically a counter-cyclical. So what does that really mean is that as and how the markets increase, the equity exposure goes down. While at the same time, as and when the markets dip or the markets goes bearish, the equity exposure increases. So it's completely model-centric. It's something, you know, where the equity taxation is there, and to a great extent, the investor is exposed to an arbitrage category as well, so that the equity taxation is well maintained. So I would suggest that, you know, balanced advantage is also a very important fund, a very good fund, where somebody is looking out for regular payouts after some time. In fact, the arbitrage component is something where the investors would be away from the volatilities of the markets, because arbitrage protects the investors to a great extent. And that is the uniqueness of the balanced advantage fund. And that is what makes balanced advantage fund different from other hybrid categories, whether it is your FOF, whether it is your multi-asset, or whether it is your equity savings. So primarily, the fund manager is keeping only three components into it, which I've already told you, that is an equity, debt, and arbitrage. And seeing the market, seeing the scenario, they are increasing or decreasing the equity exposure, and at the same time, making people exposed to the arbitrage category as well, which is also favorite to a lot of investors because that's almost risk-free.
Okay, that's the perfect. You're reading my mind a little bit, Siddharth, but thank you for diving so deep into the balanced advantage fund. But also to talk a little bit about risk, right? Even in the beginning, you said mitigate risk. I think that's always music to investors' ears. It is a major concern, right? And there's no scheme in this world without risk. It's just not possible. So what is something that investors should place as their safety net, right? Or be prepared for before delving into hybrid schemes in general? And let's conclude today's conversation with that.
A good question. So see, because this is a question which comes very often to me, like, you know, what is the kind of risk? What kind of returns can we expect? So I'll tell you one thing, that risk is something which is associated to everything in life. Your life goals are also risky. There might be a lot of chance where you might not be able to achieve your life. Or at the same time, your aspirations could be risky, that, you know, sometimes you tend to have some aspirations which is too much adventurous, which can have a detrimental effect as well. So I don't know why whenever the word called risk comes, why does it creates a sense of phobia within the investors at large. So probably I literally find that, you know, risk is something which risk to an extent that it is calculated risk is something which every investor or people of any phase or every phase in life should have. Because you know why? Because by having more risk, you tend to have good returns as well. So I'm not asking anybody to go for any sort of risk or, you know, mindless going for a risk. But yes, of course, you know, some sort of risk is primarily important and everybody has to encounter that into their life, whether it is investment, whether it is your life goals, your aspirations or something or the other. So what I would just suggest is that, you know, the only risk what an investor is prone to when we talk about the hybrid funds is that in shorter duration of time, and when I say shorter duration, I mean like, you know, a month or 2 months or say something like that. If the markets are undergoing a downturn or the market is into a bearish fashion, so there might be a chance of your principal getting just a delta, some delta erosion can take place into your portfolios, which is very normal. But you know, if your mindset is very clear, like for example, you know, you would try to invest that money for 2 years or 3 years or let's say a perpetual amount of time, you would realize that absolutely there is no risk into your portfolios. And, you know, at the same time, the returns are very consistent. So basically, I think that risk is something which lies into the mind of the people. So if the investor is well able to understand the characteristics of different funds, what you have basically covered about multi-assets, balance advantage, equity savings, aggressive hybrid, the investor can understand that, yes, his risk is mitigated to a great extent. Yes, he is able to consistently get the returns. Yes, his confidence level, his motivation level will go high. And at the same time, the anxiety level will go down and he will be able to see good returns into his portfolio. And then, of course, last but not the least, a good knowledge about markets, a good knowledge about funds, having a good wealth manager or an investment manager who can guide investors very timely. Of course, having products like, you know, the hybrid categories. Now we have a plethora of products within the hybrid categories. And an investor can reduce the risk to the highest level possible. And I think that's the major reason why the Indian markets are burgeoning to great heights, because there's a lot and lot of infusion of money taking place into the Indian capital market, because of which, you know, people are understanding the risk well. And at the same time, by taking that calculated risk into the portfolio, they're just moving ahead and putting their money into the equity markets and seeing great highs, which we are seeing today.
Lovely. And I love the energy with which, you know, you talk to us all about finances and financial awareness. Tata, thank you so much. This has been a really enlightening conversation. And I particularly like the way you suggest we approach risk, right? That it is actually, it can be a positive if we apply it to our mindset, and it can actually boost our investment journey. Thanks for bringing that up. Really interesting point.
The pleasure is all mine. I'm sure that these kind of questions, what you have asked, would be helping the investors to a great extent to understand what a hybrid category is. I'm looking forward to see you again.
Wonderful. With that, we conclude this episode of Taraki Talks, everybody. We'll catch you with some more conversation very soon. But in the meantime, soak up this one. There was a lot to take in. I'll catch you soon.
You were listening to Taraki Talks.